WPLJ FM and HD1, New York, a Cumulus station.
It's 95.5 PLJ Reunion Day. Bring back all your favorite DJs from the past 40 years.
95.5 WPLJ.
It's time to wake up.
It's 95.5 PLJ Reunion Day.
Wake up, New York! Get your feet on the floor. No time for breakfast. Get your butt out the door. We're standing in the morning.
PLJ.
When you wake up, get your butt out of the bed, wash your face and brush your teeth to start the day. When you wake up, you turn on the radio, Scott and Todd on 95.5 PLJ.
You've been phone scammed. You've been phone scammed by Scott and Todd.
95.5
PLJ.
Please welcome back from the big show, Scott Shannon, Patty Steele, Brad Blanks, Joe Nolan, and Bill Evans.
Oh my God, how did this happen? I feel like the prodigal son coming back home for a little while.
Just for a little while, buddy.
Holy cow. You know, I got the willies when I heard that Cumulus ID.
Crap. You did.
Oh, my God. I know it's a nice company now, but I got the willies on that one.
Yeah, well.
Well, my name is Scott Shannon. I used to be here, and now I'm not anymore, but now I am now, whatever that means. And I work at another station now across town.
CBS FM.
101.1, but they were nice enough to invite me back today. And I brought my friends, Patty Steele and Brad Blanks, who I'm comfortable with, and even...
Very comfortable.
Are you not comfortable with me?
Comfortable.
Is that what you're saying there, buddy?
I met both of you.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
We're very comforting, Patty.
Yeah.
And then we couldn't leave Joe out.
No.
We got Joe.
Hey, Scott!
There it is.
Oh, I love
there
it.
There it is. Hey, Scott!
What up, man? What's going on?
And, you know, the thing about it is there's so much history to this radio station, and I've always been a student of radio history since I was a kid. I used to go down to this little record store and buy Billboard magazine, mm-hmm. and they had this guy named Claude Hall, and he would talk about all the DJs around the country with the fancy names and all the jobs, and there was a big rivalry going on between one in New York, Don Imus, and one in California named Robert W. Morgan. I said, boy, that sounds like a pretty good way to make a living. They write about you, people talk about you, and
all the girls want you.
Some of the girls want you.
Yeah, that's probably first on the list.
But the history of this radio station is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, you look back 48, 49 years of wonderful music, great DJs, incredible personalities, and all of a sudden, bye-bye. It's a little bit of a shock, and I can't tell you how many times in the past month different friends of mine from different jobs and different walks of life and different places, they want to know what I thought about it. I said, well, you know, it's sad, and it's one of those things where you have so many different emotions and feelings, it's very it's hard to enunciate, you know, or actually describe the feelings that you have going through you.
The problem is, I think, and this is what you and I had talked about, is there's the business side of what we do, and there's the artistic side of what we do. And this is part of business, but it is heartbreaking from an artistic standpoint, because the history of this radio station over the years spans, I mean, even before the 48 years ago, it was WABC FM. So it had a few years as that as well. And it's just, for most of us that grew up around here, it's our whole lives.
Well, you have several different incarnations, and it started out that when people really noticed it was when they changed the call letters. And to the credit of a guy named Alan Shaw, who I saw for the other night for the first time in my life, I met him, and he came up with the call letters, WPLJ, at least I think he did. Maybe he got the idea somewhere else, but he was in charge, so he gets the credit. Mm-hmm. And it was the name of a song, an old doo-wop song called White Port Lemon Juice. And I'm sure most of you who are listening, or you were listening back in the early days, you knew that. And they started out with people like Alex Bennett and John Zacherle, the Ghoul, and Jimmy Fink, and some of the other great stars, Pat St. John, of course, Tony Pigg, and Mark Coppola, who I just met for the first time. And that was one chunk of radio history. Just that was a great radio station. Joe, mm-hmm. You grew up listening to that station.
Sure did. I remember the other Dan Ingram program on WABC-FM before they made the change. I remember them making
the
change.
Yeah, those guys all went over and did little shows over there.
Yep, when they were done in the morning.
When FM was just a plaything.
Right, they were done on AM. They came over to the FM and did stuff on the FM. It was kind of this new thing. What is this? FM radio. This is so cool. Listen, there's no static. And
you had people, you had stars that evolved into like Carol Miller, mm-hmm. and then when Jim Kerr came on, and that was an incredible time for radio in New York. There was that battle going on between NEW, FM, and PLJ. And then when I got dropped into the scene back in 83, started Z100.
You broomed out all of the rock people.
You kind of went through it like a bulldozer.
Well, that was a strange time. Look, I just had a job to do.
I didn't
really have any. I had no animosity towards Larry Berger or anybody that worked there. I just had a job to do. And it's funny because I'm probably the only person ever, worked against them and then worked here and then didn't work here.
Great point.
And bashed them across the street.
Yes, and then I went across the street and bashed them up some more. So it's a weird feeling. But, our relationship with PLJ came when I got the call from Mitch Dolan and Tom Cuddy to come in, and that was 1991. I said, "What, you need me to come over to PLJ? That doesn't look
April,
very good."
April, I remember it.
Yeah, and then we started a whole new side of the radio station.
I remember because I was at Z100 at the time, and when we found out you were going there, everybody was pulling their hair out. The place was like, "Oh, good, what's he doing?"
I was here, and I was terrified.
As well, you should have been.
Don't bring him in here.
If only you knew.
But Joe was a major part of our morning show, and I look back because when we first started the show, that we were looking for some people to put a cast together, and we had the divine Sandy Klein, who was a news person.
And 10-10 wins.
A lovely lady.
Yeah.
And she didn't appreciate that we talked about her husband, who was a judge.
Well, I don't blame her. I think I might be on her side on this.
I can't remember some of the things we said about him, but
I do.
Yeah.
She wasn't. And then I think Tim Ashley did that for a while. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Tom came up with a friend of his from the great state of Rhode Island, and that's where she came in.
Naomi
DeClemente.
Don't say anything bad. You're on the air.
And I was as frightened as Joe was of you when I got the call.
You were a bit of a whack job back then. You were swinging single. You were out.
And she's not now.
You were out every night. You come in here, and that garlic could be coming through your skin.
Oh, okay.
Remember that? All right.
Be nice.
I'll tell you, I could have had two evil brothers. That's what you were to me. You guys in the morning. You tortured me, and I was the little sister there. But somehow I survived 8 years. I'm not sure how. But we had a fun ride, didn't we?
Well, there are people right now going, "Well, you skipped someone." No, we're not skipping Todd Pettengill. He was a major part of the show, and we were like brothers for a long, long time. And
yes,
as many couples do over the years, things don't work out, and they, as you probably realize, they
you
didn't
grow up
work
and
out.
Move on.
So, But I'll tell you what, I never worked with anyone funnier than him in my entire career, and I've had a pretty long career, and we accomplished quite a bit together. But when Naomi came in here, I'd never seen anybody like her before.
A whirlwind.
I just realized that you documented my whole life, basically my dating years, my engagement, my wedding, and my pregnancy. My whole life was on the radio from 1991 to 1999.
We put it right on the radio, too. We had covered all the gory moments when you and Bob broke up.
What?
Have you ever,
when did that happen? Are you back together?
When you, in one of those situations, they were dating and they broke up. See, this is a life lesson.
Right.
If you have a friend that's in a relationship and they break up and they come in, they say, you know, he's a creep.
Yeah, we thought he was a jerk, too.
So that's
what you did,
the same thing we did. And all of a sudden, the next thing we know, here he is back in the saddle again.
That happens with your kids, too.
You called him Cell Phone Bob forever, and that poor guy never sold a cell phone.
He sold cell phones out of his trunk.
He did not sell cell phones.
Right down here on 33rd Street.
Yep, I saw the little shop that he had down there. Anyway.
Yeah, this is all starting to feel like 1991 all over again.
So, one of the things we did, we always played this song because she loved it, and I know they played it for you earlier this morning, but I was looking forward to coming in this morning and playing it. Is all set to go? No, it's not.
No, but we'll play it at some point.
We had it a minute ago.
Yeah.
But we can't find it out. We'll play it for you later. Naomi, thank you so much for taking a moment out of your busy life to check in.
I it's a pleasure to have worked with you and Joe and Patty, and just to I wish you the best at CBS FM, and I'm just grateful for every year I had with all of you.
Oh, no.
The theme here song for Naomi DiClemente on PLJ.
CBS FM.
I didn't say it.
I didn't. Who do you think you are? It's gonna break.
It's 95.5.
Jan and I used to work here, and I don't anymore, but I'm happy to be here today, along with Patty Steele.
Who used to work here and don't anymore.
And you don't anymore. And, of course, Mr. Brad Blanks, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Had a good run. Had a good run here.
And Mr. Nolan.
And Joe's hanging around here. Mm-hmm. I like that. And now, after Naomi, we needed someone to fill some big shoes, so we found a very competent, excellent personality who I was familiar with. I actually...
But I have little feet. I'm like a size 6.
Patty Steele jumped into that slot. We worked on this morning. Naomi was here like 9 years. Patty was here 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw her through quite a bit. She had a couple of babies.
I had 3 babies. I actually had them before I got here. I had a 3-month-old when I started here, a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Oh, God, the stories I heard.
Oh, God.
So how was it? You'd finish your shift and you'd drive straight home.
I'd pump breast milk in a room in the back.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I work with a breast pumper.
Yeah, Scott, handle that.
He knew nothing about it.
No problem.
He wanted no part of that.
There was no problem there. And the funny thing about it is we were fortunate enough to be in a city where every star in the music business would stop by. PLJ was a must stop for almost everybody, and we got to meet and get to know. You know, don't get me wrong, we weren't friends. They only came here so we played our records.
Oh, they love you.
But they were, we were nice to
them. The Bacon Brothers were friends with you.
Yeah, Bacon Brothers. Okay. Thank you, Brad. That's a good point.
You had to pick that.
Yeah. Michael Bacon.
Yeah, Michael Bacon loves you more than Kevin.
You're
great guys.
We were lucky enough to be around when so many stars were breaking, and the memories that we collected here in this building were amazing, because new people like John
Mayer.
John Mayer.
Mm-hmm. Jason Mraz.
He came by here when he had just gotten, he was popular in Atlanta, and one of the guys in the record company said, this guy's pretty hot, you want to put him on the show? We don't play his music yet. Yeah, but you're probably going to. So he came by, and that started a long relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
We had him over at Blythedale a couple of times, and he was just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. We had Katy Perry here.
Katy, but What about Taylor Swift, the young Taylor Swift?
Baby Taylor Swift.
Came in from Nashville.
She's like 15.
she had one song out. It was a big country hit called Teardrops on My Guitar. Mm. And she came by and she sang it that day, just her and a guitar.
Yeah.
And that started a friendship with her, and she still comes by over at the other station now, at CBS FM. Mm-hmm. And talks to us. She doesn't live far from there, mm-hmm. so it's easy. It's easy for her. It's the closest station, probably, other than Z100.
What about Hanson? Hanson was pretty good for you in the late 90s, was it?
Well, some people might say they blame us for that. But it was I liked that song Oombop, and we brought it in on a cassette, and we started playing it. And the next thing we knew, we were. In the middle of the Meadowlands, outdoors at the Meadowlands Fair. Remember that one?
No.
And we had about 3,000 kids out there. And it was in the morning, too. We did the morning show. They went on at 9 o'clock. Hanson was there. And there was a lot of stars like that. You know, the morning, you remember the morning Rod Stewart and Ronnie Wood came by completely wasted.
Yeah, but Rod Stewart was gorgeous. He really looked. I was really shocked.
He was so drunk.
It doesn't matter. Well, maybe I like him that way.
He'd been up all night, a gorgeous drunk.
Yeah.
That's how Patty likes him.
I do. Dave Matthews came in. He was so, oh my God, I could have kept him forever. Woo, he was rough, but I loved
it. Too. Let's check and see. Hello, CBS. I'm sorry. DLJ.
I'm very upset about that snide comment about the Bacon Brothers from the Australian.
Sorry.
You know, I was at that Meadowlands concert, and I was shocked and horrified at the crowd. There was huge.
Horrified.
We did the weather from there live.
Mm-hmm. Bill Evans, ladies and gentlemen.
Bill Evans.
The artist formerly known as the Weatherman.
I thought it was Kevin Bacon.
Now media mogul.
Brad thought it was Kevin Bacon.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was a great concert with Hanson. You guys scared me because you were doing all those little dances with Naomi. It was a Friday before that day. That was a great show. That was awesome. Yeah.
Now, rumor has it you have your own radio show now.
Radio station.
Well, I have a radio show, a radio station. You know, when you get fired, you don't get mad. You just go buy a radio station.
He's firmly ensconced out in the Hamptons.
Sag Harbor, beautiful.
And aren't you doing the night show this week because your young disc jockey hit his head on the wall? He's 80.
He's 80. That guy's 80.
Am I undercutting him? Is he older than 80?
Yeah, he's pushing 80. He's been at the radio station since 1970.
Oh, wow.
And unfortunately, he fell in the control room and he hit the back of his head.
Ow.
Oh. And he has to have a plate put in the back of his head. I mean, it's just...
Your buddy over here, Nolan's...
I'm not trying to laugh. Rock when he's back.
You know what? Knowing how bad you like to be on air, I'm sure you tripped him in that control room.
Jeez, Scott.
I'm pretty sure you had something to do with it.
Yeah, Charmer.
As you know, Scott, we all became DJs, you know, so we could talk on the radio. And if we can't be on the radio, we have to do what we have to do.
That's right.
You're the greatest.
But I'm doing nights, running the board, you know.
Till somebody trips you and you bang your head and get a metal plate.
Right.
That's exactly right. Well, I guess he'll be able to get the station in his head now, so he's going to recover and be fine.
He'll pick it up.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
Bill Evans, ladies and gentlemen, on 95.5 PLJ.
It's 95.5 PLJ. Reunion Day.
Oh, yeah. One solid hour of memories and moments and days gone by here at 95.5 PLJ. Nolan's here. Patty Steele with us. Brad Blanks. And, of course, the two guys who gave me my break at PLJ. Mitch Dolan and Tom Cuddy today. Mitch has got his bow tie on, as usual. It's his uniform. And
looks
we're
fabulous.
Happy to see him. He looks very good today. Mm-hmm. We were talking about all the stars. I forgot, we did Ed Sheeran's first interview in America.
Right, I remember that.
And then the other night, somebody told me that is very close to Bruce, that we did the last radio interview that Bruce has ever done.
What year was that? That was down in Asbury Park.
Yeah,
Asbury
Park. 2002. That's the last time he's done an interview for any radio
station. You really put him off.
I guess we pissed him off.
That's it. No more DJs.
I'm not doing that anymore.
17 years.
That was a heck of a deal Tom Cuddy brokered.
Yeah.
I remember you getting shuttled out the back there to do that exclusive interview.
It was like backstage. Was it the Paramount? Is that the
convention center.
Yeah, that's right.
Hello, Jerry Limbo, a friend of the big shows. How are you, Jerry?
I'm doing terrific. What a great... Oh, my God. I can't believe what I'm hearing right now.
You were a big part of our days here at PLJ. What's your memory? Your fondest memory, or one of them?
Well, besides being DJ for a day, the Blake Impact.
Right.
No, actually, my most memorable moment, and it wasn't the biggest of stars, but it was an artist called Bob Carlisle who had a song called Butterfly Kisses.
Oh, yeah. Butterfly
and,
Kisses. Whew,
I will never forget the day that we had 10 fathers and 10 daughters in the studio with us.
Mm.
And he played Butterfly Kisses live on the air. And it was you and Todd, and I believe Naomi was still.
I think it was Naomi. Before me.
And he played the song live on the air. There wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Scott can cry thinking about that song.
You know, it's funny.
Just hearing it.
I remember the first time we played it.
Mm. Yes.
I really had trouble because Todd and I both, you know, had daughters, and we still do. And I remember I couldn't talk when it was over, so I nodded at him, and I looked over, and he couldn't talk either. So neither one of us could talk.
I remember we sent the song up by Messenger, and I recall that exact circumstance, Scott, because I sent it up there, and I remember listening, and you played the record, and then there was like a moment of dead air.
That was why. We couldn't talk.
Crying. Couldn't talk.
Nobody could talk. Thank you, Jerry, for checking in. You're a good man. We appreciate it so much. Hello?
Scott.
Hey, who's this?
My name is Mark. I'm from Westchester County.
Hello, Mark.
I was a 10-year-old kid back in 1994, and I wanted to be a radio DJ more than anything in the world, and I made a cassette tape pretending to be on the certain Todd show as a host, you know?
Right.
And I'm singing along, and I'm singing the jingles before I would play a song on my other cassette tape, you know, that. So I thought, you know, I'm singing it, and I mailed it to you guys in the home letter, and one morning, you talked about me, and you said, yeah, this young kid sits in Westchester, and you played it. Do you remember that, or do you not?
I think I do remember it. I don't remember whether you became a DJ or not.
No, I did not. I became a mobile DJ when I was a teenager at weddings, all this stuff.
But good.
It's all right.
The biggest moment as a kid. A 15-year-old.
Chicks like the mobile DJs, too.
Yeah. You got a microphone, they like it.
But it was awesome. That was like the only 10-year-old who loved Scott and Tom in the morning. It was really creepy, you know, but it was... It was, you know, a big moment. All my Dutch friends at work, I never heard it when they were driving in. They said, oh, your son was on the radio today.
What do you do now?
Right now, I'm in my own business, actually. I'm in the construction industry. But
cool.
I DJed for many, many years and just never became a radio DJ. And
you decided to get rich instead, right?
Exactly.
All right, Mark, thanks for checking in this morning. I got Lori. Hello, Lori.
Hi, thank you guys. I love you. You got me through nursing school. Now I'm retired. My daughter works over there in Cumulus.
Oh.
Oh my God. Well, hold on.
I'm don't say that name.
Again.
Don't say the C word on the air.
Oh, I know. Okay.
Wow.
Say the C word. Okay.
Sorry.
But you really, it lifetime of fun and fun with PLJ.
Thank you so much for checking in this morning. I remember we used to always celebrate everything, and Tom and I had decided that it's so much fun to celebrate different events, and I think it was Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, no.
And our, Joe can help me with this one, our incredible promotion director, who was responsible for many, many great events here,
Teresa Angela.
Teresa Angela.
Yeah.
somehow booked us into a place called the Fiesta Hut on Route 4. Yeah. Remember when we pulled up in the car?
The look on your face.
Where are we?
When we pulled up to this place, the Fiesta Hut restaurant wasn't any bigger than this one.
What year was this?
Oh, boy.
No, we don't know.
Right at the beginning. Yeah, 90s, right at the very beginning. Yeah, and it was no bigger than this room. It had a counter in the middle.
It had cement floor and cinder block walls.
And the only thing in it that wasn't cinder block was the Corona Light.
Well, that way they could hose the place down.
It was piled up everywhere. And my goodness, what a disaster from beginning to end. That was the worst show I think you guys ever did. It was just horrible. Just from the beginning, he was peeved out by it the whole place.
Okay.
He didn't want to be there.
Well, Joe, you know that the most important thing when you do any kind of personal appearance with Scott is to make him think this is the greatest thing on earth.
Otherwise, we tried, but there was no hiding it.
I actually can tell the difference between the greatest thing on earth and the worst remote ever done in broadcasting.
Come on, baby. Showbiz.
Oh, my gosh.
Scott, what were those Melrose Place parties? What were they all about? Yeah. Remember those?
No, I don't recall.
Melrose Place?
Wait,
no, I don't recall
they
the Melrose
Place. They don't recall because it was a different time.
You know, and as I said before, we were lucky to have a great cast, and this was certainly a major part of that cast. Mm. Checking in this morning, one half of the Scott and Todd show, since I'm Scott, that must be him.
It's unbelievable. You guys can't remember anything.
What do you remember?
There were six people there. That was the problem with Fiesta Hut. It looked like there'd been a murder in the place. Well, it was a chalk outline. You don't remember anything. Then we went to the house party, and Joe Nolan farted the hell me out right out of the tent.
Wait a minute.
You woke yourself up.
Well, that I did.
So
yeah, that's true.
Remember, I slept in the house. I wimped out.
Yeah, no kidding.
You remember the little girl's bed he slept in that night?
The poor little girl.
Threw her out of her own room.
Couldn't have been more than six. Had to sleep outside by the Joe Nolan fart tent. Because Scott had to be inside. And I don't want to be by the mosquitoes. I don't want to be by drunk Joe. I see you. And he'd be like, no, I'm coming back out. And he'd be like this. He's not coming back out.
No. We were waiting for him.
He's not coming back out.
And no doubt about it.
He's not coming back out.
He's not coming back out.
Remember that one.
What about the first few gigs we found for Brad, too? Some of the stuff that you would come up with. Remember when he walked in the high heels?
Yeah. Oh, you can't forget things like that. They're indelibly, burned.
Tattooed. Todd, you stitched me up. You put me in 10-inch heels and had me run through New Jersey.
You're still over-modulating. Like I told you, if it's back up a little bit. Because you're screaming into the microphone. Back it up a little bit.
Remember the tricycle, Todd?
Oh, jeez.
Well, he actually was Miley Cyrus that day. He dressed like he had that little skirt on, the 10-inch heels. Didn't you almost get arrested?
Yeah, well, the big one was the Elmo, where Todd followed me into some beautiful, like a Camaro or something, Todd. and you followed me 21 miles through New Jersey, and we shut down traffic everywhere we went. And you commentated the whole ride. And it was
Did we do a gasoline tube thing on the three?
You screwed up, and you almost got arrested there, too.
And we got in trouble.
That was big. And remember that, what was it, that wedding that we did with two strangers?
Two strangers and a wedding.
Yep.
That lasted about 2 weeks, and she said, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Did they get divorced?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
2 weeks later.
I don't remember.
It didn't work out. We're going to play one of our favorite phone scams. I don't know if you have any particular favorites, but I went back. I got it off the first album. Remember the book crook?
Oh, sure.
Huh?
This is a guy who had a library book out for years, and his friends called up, or it might have been his girlfriend at the time, and said, look, he brags about the fact that he always has his book. They never caught him. He never had to bring it back. It was just sort of a thing of pride for this guy who just never let it go.
He was a proud crook.
We got the book crook.
You have reached too far. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Blake. From your...
Yes?
Hi, how are you?
Who? Yeah, fine. Who's calling?
My name is Bruce Blake.
Bruce Blake, uh-huh.
director of the library services?
Which library are we talking about? The New York Public Library?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay, I got you.
Now, as you may be aware, September, I don't know if you know, was National Book Amnesty Month.
September is National Book Amnesty Month?
Well, it was.
Uh-huh.
Where we gave patrons an opportunity to return all overdue materials without threat of exorbitant fines.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And our records indicate that you have in your possession one of our books.
I do?
And have had it for 6 years.
For six? I don't remember.
We show you check the book out at the East Broadway Library on the Lower East Side.
Yeah, I mean, I live down here, so I mean, I might have taken, I mean, I don't know, 6 years ago.
We have sent subsequent reminders that were ignored.
What is the fine for something like this? What are we talking about?
It's $2,143.53.
No way! Are you serious?
Yeah. At 5 this afternoon, another 10 cents will accrue to that total, and then it will double hereafter.
You're saying I have a book that's been out for 6 years from the library.
You do owe the city of New York $2,143.53.
Wait a second. $2,143.53.
What we will be forced to do is attach a Tardicus Sphinxter lien, as approved by the city council back on December 10th of 1973.
Sir, I am telling you that I had no knowledge of this. I'm not... Why?
You signed the library card!
Sir, I had no knowledge of this. I could try to find this book. Is there, like, another, like, kind of... I didn't even know there was an amnesty thing.
$2,143.53 is what you owe this city.
I didn't realize.
Sir. You are the biggest violator in the whole city of New York.
Sir, I had no idea of, you know, I mean...
$2,143.53 is what you owe us today.
What happens now?
Let's what happens
I
now?
Let's produce this book.
14 months in jail.
You might misunderstand me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not being difficult. I just don't understand.
I understand. And if you're unable to pay, I'll have to issue a warrant for your arrest. That's all I'm saying to you.
No, I understand. So, this is at, what is the name? You're representing who?
The New York Library Services!
The New York Library Services.
And I have to throw you in jail. If you don't pay the money.
When do I have...
Till 5 o'clock today.
I have till 5 o'clock today to pay $2,143?
That's right.
And what if I don't pay today...
Jail!
Pay,
jail! Rikers! Jail!
Is there somebody I can go to? Is there somebody I can talk to?
Rikers Island.
Rikers Island?
You're going to Rikers Island.
Is there anybody, like, is there an office I could go to speak to somebody to work out a payment plan?
You have the pen?
Yeah.
Stephanie?
Yeah.
Greenberg.
Oh, my God.
This is Mojo Radio.
Oh, my God. My mouth is through my throat. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Jay, you have been Mojo phone scammed.
Oh, my God. Have I been mojoed?
And there's the story. That was probably one of the most requested phone scams you ever did.
Mojo phone scam. where's the winking, blinking, good guy weather town?
Do you know, I was playing golf yesterday, and I was talking to this guy, telling
that's
him
that's unusual
what we were going to do. And he said, is Todd going to be on? I said, well, I hope so. And he goes, I remember the funniest thing I ever heard him say. And you know what he said to me?
No, I have no idea.
I wonder if Pat Battle has a Brazilian.
It's not my proudest moment.
Come on, Todd. That was awesome. Well, don't you? Didn't you wonder it when you were watching
I'd never,
be like any guy would think,
no,
I wonder
okay?
What's going on down there. Right? I mean, is it a powder puff or is it a landing strip?
I swear to God, that was yesterday on the 11th hole he said that. Okay. I forgot all about it. I thought it was great.
All right.
Anyway.
All right, nothing like a good Brazilian chat.
That kind of slowed things down, didn't it?
Says the Aussie.
You said a million funny things. It was wonderful, wonderful, mate. No, wonderful.
That was the one that stuck in this dentist head.
Oh, that's funny. The things you remember. You know, I don't know if you guys covered it yet, but I did not steal a man's pants.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with Joe, I mean, I still, to this day, when people, you know, reach out, I remember when Joe Nolan went to play golf and he stole that guy's pants. And then I said, no, Joe said he didn't steal the pants.
But he did.
No,
but
I didn't.
I mean, you were very defiant. I mean, I did not steal a man's pants.
I didn't.
You put his pants on.
I had his pants on, yeah. But
you took him out of the locker.
No, the guy from the club gave him to me out of the locker, and I wore him.
You stole
but
the
that
man's...
means you took him.
But I didn't steal him.
Did you bring him home?
Yes, I
then
might
you
have.
Stole them. Did you buy the pants?
I guess it depends on how you look
did
at it.
Did you buy the pants?
No.
No, you didn't buy the pants. You stole the pants.
You stole the pants.
Well, they were given to me, but I just didn't give them back.
You know, we spent a lot of time in Florida, and I remember being at Disney World. You remember the two little girls we met that later grew into stars? Big stars?
Yes.
You remember, Todd?
You're not talking about the Olsen twins.
I'm not talking about the Olsen twins.
Oh, well, yeah, that's cool. You got a whole plan
that's
here.
Another
I'm just
whole
flying
story.
Like Norma by the seat of my pants. That was the worst interview we ever did.
We didn't.
No. Dr. Joyce Brothers was the worst interview we ever did.
She was one
Hello.
Of my favorites.
Remember Britney Spears came by? She was like...
Yeah,
14
or I have no recollection of
15
that.
15 years old? Yeah.
Oh, down at Disney in the studio.
Yeah. Christina Aguilera came in the next day.
Yep.
Two young ladies.
Is that when Kato got fired?
Ooh, that's a bad one.
No, that I think was the next trip.
That was a bad one. We had a great producer.
What happened there, Todd?
Creative guy. Nice fella.
Good guy.
Knew everything. But he just stayed stoned all the time.
Yeah, well, it's a problem. Wow. You know, he had a problem.
He had trouble waking up.
Yeah.
And
wasn't really a morning person, which is difficult when you're a morning show producer. But he really, not a morning guy. And he told us that. He goes, you know, mornings are hard for me. Well, you probably shouldn't have taken the job.
But that's when we're on the air, Kato. Yeah, and then, so that morning... We go over there and found out he had a towel rolled up and put across the bottom of his door.
It wrecked his room, too, remember?
Yeah.
He completely trashed his room.
And he had a migraine. Did he have a migraine?
Something,
I had a bad joint.
You sent me over to go get him. And then I came back into that big room we were in, and I looked over at you, and they said, where's Kato? And I just kind of looked over, and I said, I don't know.
That's when the bloom was off the rose a little bit with us and Disney, and they put us about 3 miles from the park.
Yep.
We were up in some hotel room looking down, like, what are we doing up here?
Yep. And then I remember the two of you walked over into the corner and started chatting.
We were chatting.
And I looked at Naomi, I said, this isn't good. And sure enough.
Not good for Kato.
Well, that's better. He wasn't a morning person.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost better.
Let's fast forward to the $1 million bank run. You remember that one, Tom? The $1 million bank run. We give you, 5 minutes in a bank vault and all the money you can carry out.
That's right. Chase Manhattan Bank is when we did it. And the first year that we had, someone got almost $100,000 in the time that we gave them to do their thing.
Yeah, but we had a problem one year, didn't we, Tom?
was that Victor?
Was it? Yeah, Victor and Nostalgia. Victor.
Starchick or something?
That sounds familiar.
He lived in his mother's basement in Clark.
That's him.
Yep,
that's him. He's running back and forth. He's hauling all the money out. And what happened, Todd?
We got a man down.
He goes down on the floor. He passes out right when we had Channel 7 cameras there. Big crowd of people watching. And I thought we killed a man.
Yep. This guy says, we got a man down. The clock was still running.
What else am I going to say?
On the clock. Well, you're like the master of the obvious. You know? The damn clock is still running. Everybody sees the guy's laying on the ground. We got a man down. Yes, we do. We definitely do.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you so much. Well, that was a shame. But he got back up.
Right. Did we do that twice? Did we do it twice?
I think three times.
Yeah, we did it three times.
Three times.
Yeah. But and it was a good contest, except when a man went down.
Yeah, except when you murder somebody.
That's bad.
You don't want that.
Hello, Jen, are you there?
Hey, that was one of my favorite shows.
The man down, you mean?
Yes, the man down. One of them. And that was the end of the contest. He ruined it for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your memory?
That and my favorite Brad Blank's memory, of course, is Julia Roberts. When he stalked her for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Todd, I didn't want to be... You know, Todd, Scott, you both made me stand out there at the Broadway Theater for 3 weeks until I got an interview with her. It was hell.
We said, don't come back until you talk to... Yeah. What show was that?
Yeah.
5 days of rain. No one remembers it. Anyway. No,
it was every night she would walk out, and Brad would yell certain lines from
her movies.
Julia
Roberts
movies.
Standing in front of a girl, asking her to love him and all that sort of stuff. And the big one was her bodyguard took me down a back alley and was going to beat me up. And the next day I came in and I told Scott and Todd on the radio what he did to me. And Todd, you went crazy because you called him a whacking hut. For a good 15 minutes.
Oh, that's the whacking hut
guy. Yeah, the whacking hut guy.
So I went down there that night, and the NYPD Blue had started calling him Mr. Whacking Hut to his face. And he was not happy.
You know what happened to? One night he yelled at Julia Roberts when she came out, and she got in the car, and she told her bodyguard, "Who's that effing guy that yelled at me?"
Yeah.
He might be a crazy person.
Anyway.
And they call the cops on you too, Brad?
Yeah,
didn't they?
A few times.
A few times,
but they were on our side at the end. The cops were on our side by the end of it.
Right.
They were done with it all.
Except for Whackenhut.
Whackenhut wanted to kill me. But anyway, it was a great moment when I I've got to thank you guys. When I walked in here off the street, a boy from the bush, and you guys put me on the radio. I walked into Bruce Goldberg's office, and he said, come down here and go on the radio. I didn't know who I was getting on with. These legends of radio, Scott, Todd, and Patty, and I get in there, and... Yeah, you started some sort of weird and wonderful journey. Now I'm married, which is a shock.
I see. What do you got, 8 kids?
Yeah, I got kids, yes.
You got like 8, don't you?
Yeah.
How many kids you got?
I've got three kids.
Yeah,
yes.
You're old. Is this your son? Who's the old? I saw a picture of him the other day. It's your freaking head on this kid's body. He's already got the receding hairline and everything. Looks just like you.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable. Monk showed me a picture. He goes, who's this? I said, that's Brad Blanks.
Yes.
He goes, well, close. It's his kid.
Yeah.
I said, oh, my God.
Beautiful
family, Brad.
Thanks, mate.
Well, we are gathered here today to celebrate the past of PLJ. And what, tomorrow?
You celebrate's a little delicate word for me because I'm getting the boot. You know what I mean? So celebrate.
How about look back? A look back. We're celebrating the past.
Yeah.
Not the future.
I'll be delivering pizzas Monday. You know what I mean? I've washed my car and I got that sign.
Yeah.
You put the sign on the top and you plug it into your cigarette lighter. It lights up. So I got that going on Monday. So if you need a pie, you're in North Jersey.
Yeah.
I might be right at your house.
You're all set, huh?
Yep. I'll be playing the phone scams in a car. Remember this? Remember this? Like this. No, what's that? Never mind. Here's your pizza.
Here comes Todd from Tony's on Bloomfield Avenue.
There he is. Right. I got 3 pies. I can't chat. They get cold. I don't give a tip.
Didn't you used to be Todd Pettengill?
You used to be. Now what are you?
I'm
working for Tony.
All right, Todd. Thanks for checking in, my friend. Great job.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you, man. Thank you so much. It is 95.5 PLJ with Third Eye Blind. Now, some memories from days gone by as we say goodbye to a radio station that's iconic here in New York City. And Stephanie says she has a memory, something that happened to her. What happened to you, Stephanie?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So... this FedEx guy walks into my office, and I was a receptionist, and he says, hey, I won tickets to this dance that PLJ is having, the True Romance Dance.
Oh, yeah.
You want to go?
You didn't know him?
I knew him just from picking up packages from the office I was working in. He seemed nice enough, and I was like, well, you know what? That seems like a cool thing to do. And so 8 years later, we get engaged, and here we
eight
are.
8 years? He waited a while.
No, it was me.
Oh, that a girl.
Who was the entertainment that night at that True Romance dance?
It was the Stylistics.
Oh, boy.
What year was that?
It was 24 years ago.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Wow.
Congratulations. I'm glad we had some small part in your relationship.
Yeah. And we wound up on the Star Trek reunion cruise with you guys, too.
Oh, I forgot about those reunion
cruises.
Wow,
your whole life has been tied up with him.
You know what? And PLJ is such a part of our life. It was good times.
You know, we're thinking about that the other day. I went back and tried to recapture some of the memories that I had. We had all those reunion cruises. We had Animal House. Mm-hmm. We had KRP in Cincinnati. Remember that one, Joe?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
The Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
And the Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
But some bands out there, too. Remember we had Huey Lewis in the News Cruise?
And that the News Cruise?
They were nuts.
Well, you know what else, too?
Crazy.
Remember we had Rick Springfield on.
Oh, that was even worse.
Well, what about
insane.
The up-close and personal shows at the China Club?
Incredible. Tom used to put those incredible shows together.
Hootie and the Blowfish, Def Leppard, Duran Duran, Sheryl Crow, Coldplay, the Blues Brothers. That was Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi. Yeah. Even Tom couldn't get John. And that was difficult.
Yeah.
And then, of course, our favorite time of the year, the Christmas party for the kids at Blythedale.
Right. Which we still do.
Thank you, Rob Thomas. Yeah, we still do it. In case you didn't know, Patty and I and Brad still work on the radio over at WCBS-FM 101.1, in case you hadn't been looking for a morning show anytime soon.
Well, you should be.
I don't know.
Well, I think you should be.
I don't know what's going on around here, but in case you need one, there we are.
Yeah.
You know, I look back at some of the people that we worked with here, and this was the longest job that I ever had in radio.
Hmm.
I mean, I've moved around. I love to change jobs. I love that. I love to go to different towns, start new radio stations and all that. I worked in Memphis, Mobile, Nashville, Tampa, Florida, D.C., Los Angeles. But this was a radio station where you felt like you had a family. And we had so many friends here. And Patty, you still have many friends like I do.
Yeah. A lot of people here that I love very much.
You look back and, you know, you got Race Taylor and Fast Jimmy. Yeah, and there was Rocky and Blaine and Joey Kramer, who's still here.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we can get rid of him is close it down.
What about Harry Capsalis?
Well, Harry Capsalis.
Legend.
With Rocky and Blaine.
Yeah. Well, the beauty of our business is, though, is that life moves on and there are so many wonderful stations still around. And the people that are worth their salt will reemerge at a new place.
Mm-hmm.
See them.
Yeah.
There.
You're going to, like I said the other day, there's a lot of really good people at this radio station, people who do what they do very, very well.
That will take our jobs.
Yeah, you never know. I want to say hi to Christy McIntyre and Christine Ritchie and other, you know, I'm probably forgetting some people we worked with and all the people behind the scenes.
Jamie Lee's here today.
Yeah, Jamie Lee's here.
Some of the people we worked with have been here for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Joe, you have friends here too, right?
Yeah, Terry and Race. You know, Race is a great one.
Bill Ayers was here. How many years?
Joe Pardavilla, who was the Monkey Boy.
Yeah, Monk.
You know, so it's sad that they are, a lot of these people are going to, you know, most of them are going to be out of work.
Mm-hmm.
But, like we said.
Well, momentarily.
Yeah.
Life goes on.
It's not the end of the world.
Scott, you and I were both out of work when we left here.
Yeah, when I left here,
very
I was
quickly
out of
you
work.
You get back in.
I never dreamed I'd be back here sitting in this seat. This is the very same seat and the very same microphone that I use for 23 years.
And you know what's weird? The very same DJ is on the other side of the glass over there. Dave Stewart.
Dave Stewart.
Race Taylor's.
How many times did you look up as soon as you sat in here in the morning and aired Dave Stewart in the other studio?
Yeah. And there's my friend Louis Diaz.
Yep.
Now he's still with Cumulus.
What a pleasure it is to be here, guys. With
thank you, Louis.
It's great to see you.
Louis grew up at this radio
station. Little baby, I know.
Yep. How old were you when you came here?
Well, legally, 18.
maybe a little younger?
Yeah, maybe about 14.
But it's sad in a way, but like I said the other night, it's also a happy time because of what we had and what we lived through. And as I go back, I think the most important day in my radio life was on 9/11. When I sat right here and Todd was right there.
and we watched the whole thing unfold. We worked all day, and to this day, people still come up and talk about listening to us on that day because of the way we covered it. And we talked to people all day long, and then all day the next day. I think we worked 6A to 9P the first day. We came in at 5 the next morning. And it was obviously a terrible day in this city and this country. But it will always stick in my mind because of the people we talked to that day and the emotions that we went through that day.
That's what radio is, though.
Yeah,
that's exactly what radio is.
Yeah, it's very personal, intimate.
I want to wish all the people here at PLJ good luck. And we hope everything works out for you. Thank you so much for inviting us back on behalf of Patty and Brad and Joe and all of us. Thank you. And we'll see you down the road. In case you need us, you can find us over 101.1.
CBS FM.
Tomorrow morning, we're on. Thank you.
WPLJ FM and HD1, New York. A Cuyo station.
It's 95.5 PLJ Reunion Day. Bring back all your favorite DJs from the past 48 years. WPLJ, New York, New York. It's 95.5 PLJ Reunion Day.
Please welcome back Fast Jimmy Roberts and AJ Hammer.
Wow. Hey.
Been a long time since I've been in this room in this chair.
No kidding.
This is just awesome. Listen, before we start yakking here about the past and memories, can we just give it up for Scott Shannon?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm gonna tell you a quick story about Scott, and I told him this story a long time ago, but he does not believe me. When I was a baby DJ, I was 18 years old. I was working a little radio station in Monroe, Louisiana, my first job, and I was thought, is this really what I want to do with my life? Do I want to be a disc jockey? And then I heard an air check of Scott Shannon at some station in Atlanta, and all that man said was, I like this song a whole bunch. I'm Scott Shannon. And I went, that's what I want to do.
That's it, right there.
That's all it took. I still get goosebumps when I think about it.
Sure.
And he's the reason I have no discernible skills other than sitting behind a microphone. So thanks for that, Scott Shannon.
Fast Jimmy Roberts.
AJ Hammer.
Fast Jimmy Roberts. So here we are. It is such a flashback. And walking through these hallways, everybody's been talking about the fact today, you know, the people, the faces you run into. I mean, seeing Joey Kramer. Face to face. When I walked out of this studio 25 years ago, you were standing right here.
I was.
You looked exactly the same.
Oh, you're too kind.
I actually almost didn't make it in on time to do this whole thing today because I'm driving in and I hear Heather O'Rourke do a traffic report and I adjusted my plan. Then I realized it was a traffic report from 15 years ago.
That's right. Damn LIE.
When Lionel Richie was here, we actually have a lot of great memories to share, Fast and I. He's one of the people that I have remained dear friends with for the 30-some-odd years since I started at this radio station.
Isn't that crazy?
Back in 1990. And we would like to share those. We want to hear from some of the listeners and hear what they want to ask us about some of the great memories of the various things we've done over the years. But, Fast, because you were here, man, you were here working your butt off under several iterations, including the Power 95 era.
WWPR. But, all of that.
But getting here was a big, big deal. I grew up in the New York area, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but you talk about hearing Shannon somewhere else and being inspired to be in radio, but you were really inspired to be at this radio station, or at least in this town at some point in your career.
Absolutely. Mostly when I drove through the Lincoln Tunnel. We'll get into the story later, but I drove through the Lincoln Tunnel with my family, my mother and my father, who were from Brooklyn, by the way. They grew up in they were in Louisiana with me. But we came through the Lincoln Tunnel, and the adrenaline buzz that I got. Mm-hmm. I went, I want more of this. And I told my dad, I said, I'm going to get a job here one day. And he's like, you're crazy.
Wow.
And I go, no, I'm going to work here. And it was the proudest day of my life, calling my father from 1330 6th Avenue, going, guess where I am gigging.
And it's unbelievable to think we are here now, some 30 plus years later, looking back at it all. Do you remember the first song you ever played on 95.5 FM?
I do indeed. This very nervous disc jockey cracked a mic with Dave Charity. God rest his soul. Yeah. Dave Charity was my trainer for the night. It was Romantics, Talking in Your Sleep. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It's great. Can you indulge me for a second here while we're talking up this song?
Don't screw it up.
I've been wanting to do this since February 5th of 1999. My name is Fast Jimmy, and this is 95.5 WPLJ New York.
Yeah! Woo! Everybody started clapping, but I do want to point out you did hit the first
post. I did post it. Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome back.
Shannon smiling. Yeah. It's 95.5 PLJ. Hey, listen to me coming out of a song. And by the way, let me point out the first time ever coming out of a Jonas Brothers song.
There
because they
go.
Never existed right. When I was on the radio.
That's right.
So we have a lot of ground to cover. It's AJ Hammer along with Fast Jimmy Roberts. Fast Jimmy Roberts. I don't think his microphone is
on.
Shannon decided.
Come on.
He didn't like
yeah, what, is Scott coming here and turn it off?
You don't gotta put that guy.
You know
on.
What? Fast Jimmy, you're so good. You don't need a microphone.
So I want you to tell this great story about getting hired here at PLJ because for any radio disc jockey, personality, baby DJ, getting hired at this radio station or quite frankly anywhere in New York City can be the highlight of a career.
Indeed.
It's market number one in the world. Before we get to all that, I'm jumping around a little bit.
It's all good.
One of the things that took up a lot of our time here on the air was giving away stuff, from money to cars to T-shirts to movie passes.
Everything.
And you gave away tons of stuff on your show, and you even had some celebrity people winning stuff who weren't, like, who comes to mind
okay,
as a contest winner?
Debbie Gibson.
She used to actually, she was caller 95?
Many, many times. I've given Debbie Gibson thousands of dollars worth of things. I'll tell you, real quickly, I'll tell you the story. One of my best friends in Indiana was named Debbie Gibson. So this 13-year-old girl calls the request line one night when we were over at the 1330 and we're chatting, and I said, what's your name? She goes, Debbie Gibson. I go, oh, my friend in Indiana is Debbie Gibson. So we started chatting, and she goes, well, you know, I'm a singer, and I do songs and stuff, and I said, we should send a tape sometime, you know? And she did.
Yeah.
And from that point, she became the winner of the Wham track trip to see Wham in Philadelphia. She won thousands of dollars, and if she were here today, I wish we could get her on the phone. We did a contest called the Album Wrapper, where you had to name as many albums as you could in 60 seconds, and you would win them all.
Could you do that, Deb?
Deb, you out there?
Arena!
Oh! Yeah! Oh! You're kidding me!
I mean,
off the wall, can't go down, private dancer. I still remember it, Jimmy.
You do have it? In your head, you still...
I drilled that so many times that I was sitting with Jonathan Knight last night in catering on our tour, and I rattled them off for him. Arena like Virgin, Big Bad Mermaid, Mexican Teen, Crazy Teen, Chinese World, Purple Rain, She's So Unusual, Cancel Down, Flash Down, Thriller, Footloose, Thriller, I can't remember the rest. But well, anyway, you get the gist.
Do we have 52 albums we can give her right now?
So the crazy thing is...
Let me tell you, I used to go to Tower Records. It was the most amazing thing. I had the radio letter, and you'd hand them the letter, and you'd get to go around the store and pick out all the albums you want, and you'd leave with this giant stack of albums, and I won that contest three times.
Yes,
I won about 100 albums.
Oh, you were such a geek.
Mostly from me.
Total radio geek.
But,
yes,
but
totally
everybody
from
needs
you.
To keep in mind, before she was a big superstar, she was growing up on Long Island, listening to PLJ, and I imagine, and tell me, Deb, it has to have been part of your dream to, one day, I'm going to have a hit song, and it's going to be played on that radio station.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, to hear you, Fast Jimmy Roberts, like, go from giving me prizes to announcing my record on air... From,
yep.
Like you said, between the ages of like 13 and 16, was so surreal and yes, such a dream come true because I was a theater baby and I was wanting to be on Broadway. That was my first goal. But when I became a songwriter, really, like full time, when I was 12 years old, I couldn't stop writing songs. And I became so fixated with being on the radio. And, of course, being on my favorite stations and PLJ was my favorite. That was what I listened to. So it was incredible.
You know, when I said, wouldn't it be nice if we could get Debbie on the phone, I know that sounded like a setup, but I had no idea you were actually on the phone. AJ did that.
Of course, I reached...
No, AJ arranged that.
I reached out to Deb the other day, and she said, of course, PLJ is a rich part of her history, like so many New Yorkers who just listen to the radio, separate from, of course, the amazing career she's had. And the crazy thing for Deb and I...
to the extent anybody cares, but I would play her songs. And in fact, you know this, Deb, because I used to do it for you. You know, we'd be driving in the car and Only My Dreams would come on and I would talk it up because it was one of my favorite songs to talk up.
Sure.
Just with the drums and the riffs and all of that. But, she and I never actually met. You did a couple phone interviews with me when I was here, but I don't think we really met and then subsequently became best friends when I was on VH1 years later.
In fact, the last time I saw you, Debbie, I was in Los Angeles after getting vaporized here with the rest of the staff 20 years ago. I was in L.A. sitting at breakfast with AJ, and you came walking by.
My God, the coincidences are endless.
And what's amazing now is, Debs, you're in Sacramento right now, I imagine, or on your way there?
Yeah, literally our tour bus just pulled up about, I don't know, an hour or two ago. Who knows? I was sleeping.
So this is the mixtape tour with the New Kids on the Block. And how's Tiffany doing? She's on the tour, too, which is crazy because, she was a part of that era back then. Salt and Peppa, Naughty by Nature.
Salt and Peppa, Naughty by Nature. Tiffany's rocking it every night. If people have not heard this girl sing in years, she's just stronger than ever. She's incredible. And I love the idea that we're all, we all started in that era and we are all still here and vital and doing it. It's a retro show in terms of the fact that we're doing our old hits, but everybody's like living in a modern world. Everybody's super relevant and cool, and the audiences are so cool, and we're packing arenas of like 15,000 people every night. It is
awesome.
Thrilling.
Now,
yeah, it's thrilling.
I'm so happy for you, because you were the sweetest person when you were 13. You're still the sweetest person, but when I first met you, you were the sweetest kid ever. You used to come to the radio studio with your mom. Do you remember coming up
Diane.
And hanging out?
Of course.
Bringing me tapes and hanging out.
I know.
Very quickly, one
I
night.
I've gotten like very sentimental about my mom lately. I just, to give her a little shout out. It's like, I don't think I'd be on this tour bus right now if it weren't for her. I mean, she was a force to be reckoned with. And
indeed.
She got a bad rap because she was a momager. But listen, I survived and I'm sane and I'm healthy and I don't have any horrific stories to tell because my mom was that protective and she did such an incredible job and she broke ground as a female executive. I mean, it's an incredible story.
You did not mess with Diane.
No.
So, quick plug.
But then she's like a softie under it all.
Nassau Coliseum, you guys are going to be in this area, so people should check out your show. That's going to be on June 30th. And by the way, just on Tiffany for a moment. Tiffany, of course, was the inspiration for the AJ Hammer Mall Tour, which kicked off promotion of me when I first started at the radio station.
I got to tell her that today when I see her that we spoke and you brought that up. That's
she'll probably cringe a little bit. Anyway, I would like to play a song right now, which is not a likely song. It does have an incredibly long intro. Does it still have the long intro, Race?
Oh, yeah. But you've got 27 seconds.
That's all day.
But this, you had just released this album, and this was your big hit at the time I got to PLJ. Would you please do the honors? Are you able to hear what we're playing here?
I can't hear it yet.
Okay, well, it's Anything Is Possible. And it's Debbie Gibson. Good luck with the tour.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
I love you, Debbie Gibson.
I may as well hit the post, right?
Awesome.
Here it comes on PLJ.
This is 95.5 PLJ Reunion Day.
It's so cool to be here. Your mic's not on again. Fast Jimmy has this problem.
Not my problem.
They blew him out of here 20 years ago, and they said, well, if you come back, you can sit in the studio, which is not going to crack your mic.
With a dead mic.
Yeah. So it was great hearing from Deb, and of course, that's Debbie Gibson. That was from 1990, which was the year that I was hired, and that song was a huge hit right at that time. But prior to that, and a few iterations of PLJ before that, Fast Jimmy, you first got hired here in New York, and you did like every shift on the radio station, from what I recall.
I started off Saturday and Sunday nights, every other Sunday, actually. Made a living doing every Saturday and every other Sunday. Then went to
I think you probably got paid more then than you would now for the same gig.
Then went to nights and then afternoons and then middays and then back down. It was all over the place.
But getting hired here, we were alluding to that a little earlier.
Yeah.
What a huge moment for anybody in this business to wind up in New York. And what are the chances?
Let me make a long story as short as I can. And hello, Dave Stewart.
Hi.
Long story very short. I remember the day that I first came to New York City for the first time. It was with my mom and dad. And it was the night of the Diana Ross concert in Central Park when the kids, the term wilding was invented that night. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
There was kind of riots all over the city. So we're eating at Long John's Limited in the Highlands. Hello, Highlands. And my mom looks across and she goes, wow, New York's so close. Can we go to New York? And I'm like, well, yeah. So I'd never been. My wife had never been. My parents hadn't been in 30 years. So we come through the Lincoln Tunnel. We get on 42nd Street. And we're basically in a riot. and my mom is freaking out, my dad is freaking out, and I'm feeling it. It just felt right. Just the energy was fantastic, and I did an illegal U-turn to get my parents out of there, and I turned to my father at that point, and I said, I have to get a job here. And he said, you're out of your mind. And I said, no, this is where I belong. Did you see how well I handled the traffic? You know, I was driving like a cab driver. It was just awesome. And I went home that night, and I started working on an air check, and I started sending them in. I was going to send them to Scott at Z100, but Larry Berger happened to open the envelope first. If Scott ever actually opened mine, I don't know. But Berger called me, and I had a job within a couple of days, and was here for 16 years.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
That's awesome.
It's just nuts.
I grew up, of course, listening to the radio station, being a White Plains boy, and New York was, of course, anybody who lived in Westchester, New York City was our backyard. And I had that iconic WPLJ poster, the one that had the neon around at WPLJ 95.5, and it was from the New York's Greatest Rock
Era.
From the
Rock Days, right.
Because, of course, I grew up listening to Tony Pigg and Jim Kerr and Jimmy Fink and all those guys from back then. Pat St. John, and what's incredible is then you go on in your career to become friends with these guys ultimately.
Very much so.
But flash forward a bit, and I was in my early 20s, just out of college, working in Hartford, Connecticut at 96 TICFM. It was my first full-time job in my life, and that was a great gig. And barely a year into that, I think it was, I get a call from Mike Preston, who was the music director here at the radio station, maybe assistant program director at the time.
Radio aficionados will know him as Batman Gomez.
Yes.
So Mike calls, and he says, I'm from PLJ, and we'd love for you to come down and talk with us about, you know, maybe doing some work here. And he wasn't specific about what the shift was at all. I'm 22 years old. And, of course, I'm freaking out, right? So I naturally say, yeah, I'll be down there. They said, first we need you to go piss in a cup. They drug tested you before the meeting.
I was grandfathered in. Before I didn't have to do that.
Before the interview, yeah. So I went through that process right by the old New York Coliseum, which is now where the Time Warner Center is. And then I come in here, and I'm sitting with Tom Cuddy, everybody's buddy. And I'm sitting with Mike Preston. And we have a nice enough conversation. And this is when Domino was on the radio. You guys remember Domino? You guys were playing clips.
Sure.
So I would drive to my show in Hartford listening to tapes of Domino for inspiration because he was just this awesome jock with a lot of great energy. And so I would do that. And then I came here and I had no idea what was going on. We had a great chat. Mike Preston gives me the tour in the hallway later, and we're back in that little production studio. And I said, so Mike, can you level with me? What is this? Is this like for weekend overnights? I had no idea what kind of shift he was talking about. He says, you're a smart guy. You'll figure it out. And I had no idea what he was talking about. I had no idea. And then 5 days later, Tom Cuddy calls me up, and he, in fact, offers me the night show, which I believe then was 7 to 11 at that time. So Rocky was doing the morning show. I think you were doing middays.
I was doing middays at that time.
You and Kim Ashley split the midday shift,
exactly.
Right? And then Skywalker in the afternoon, I came on. And so then was it Terry Fox and then Dave Stewart?
Yeah, for a while they had me doing like 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. because I was working at KC101 in New Haven, just down the street from you at TICFM, doing both. So then they had me do the 11 to 1, and then eventually they extended you 7 to midnight, and they made me midnight to 5 or 6.
Yeah. And then my shift went all over the place. It was 7 to 11, then it was 8 to midnight, and when Shannon came in, and then it became 7 to midnight, and that was when it was time to go. But in any event, a lot of people ask us about the Mojo days. And I was here for 5.5 months before the Mojo days, and this was a great radio station.
Oh.
You know, it really, I was sort of the last piece of the air staff puzzle to come in at that time, and I just felt the station, and you guys have been talking about this race, and Joey, just the people in the hallway, and this what we call stationality. There was a vibe about it. Everything was consistent. Everybody sort of shared the same idea, and Tom Cuddy put this staff, he cast this staff, as he always used to like to say, and everybody was geared towards the same thing, and I thought it was a great sounding radio station.
Oh, we had a great time.
No doubt.
And Mojo was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment.
Okay, all right.
Now, one of my first songs that I ever played, I'm not going to play the very first song. I was going to do that. It was Dirty Cash by Adventures of Stevie V.
Oh, man.
And actually, I should say, Dave Stewart, do you remember training me before I did an overnight shift before I actually started, which was pretty typical?
Oh, yes.
I came in on the weekend, and I did it under the name of Little Stevie Kushner, and we don't have to say who that actually is. If you know, you know.
Oh, I just did.
But Tom Cuddy said, go on as Little Stevie Kushner. I said, okay. But I did play this next song an awful lot because the guy who sings the song or raps the song was an enormous star. Now, do we have a nice jock jingle queued up that we can play into this song? Go ahead, Riz. Hit that button.
plays a lot of volleyball.
Now, this is not the custom version of the song, but this is, in fact, Vanilla Ice on PLJ.
Yo, VIP.
95.5 WPLJ, New York City. It's Fast Jimmy and AJ Hammer, Dave Stewart hanging out with us. We're back in Gotham on the radio.
It's pretty crazy, right?
Back in New York City.
Oh, my God.
So, you were just asking me about my first couple of days here, how I got hired. You had a really big first week.
Well, they were pretty great to me in welcoming me to New York. And, you know, everybody else on the station had been established. And I'm the new guy coming in. Domino had been really established here. So, Tom Cuddy and Mike Preston set up all of these special guests to either drop by the studio during that first week or to phone in. We had John Bon Jovi, who, by the way, John wanted to call in today or join us somehow, but he's busy traveling, so he wasn't able to make it. Vanilla Ice, who we just played, had stopped by the studio, did a very custom WPLJ AJ Hammer Skywalker rap.
He sat in this chair.
I believe he did.
Well, not this chair.
How's that?
This spot.
And it was sort of cool and something very unorthodox back in 1990 to hear from the competition. And I believe the competition is actually still on the line. And what was cool is this is a guy who not only I grew up revering in radio, but he called me on my first week to basically say, hey, man, welcome to New York. We come from the same fraternity because I was at the station in Hartford that I used to listen to him. People don't like hearing when I was growing up. but now, of course, he rules the airwaves in afternoon drive. He was on Hot 97 when I first got to town.
And brilliantly so.
One of the best jocks on the planet. Ladies and gentlemen, Broadway Bill from CBS-FM.
You guys! Oh, man. AJ, it's good to hear you on the radio again. Of course, you always had the face for television, so I knew you wouldn't be around too long.
You sound all basted and buttered up.
And Fast Jimmy, good God.
My brother.
We actually got to work together. Jimmy did some help with us on CBS-FM when we put it back on the air after some fools took it off. But you guys, I got to tell you, AJ, I'm really proud of where you've come and gone from in your career. My goodness, man, you just showed us all up with how far you could go in this business. And, you know, I think like everybody else, I've just got some great PLJ memories myself. You know, when Hot 97 cranked up on the air, it was actually Hot 103, and we were really aggressive. I mean, we were doing nasty stuff like, you know, the number you have reached, WPLJ, is disconnected. So, but the thing is like when I had to do a gig at the Garden and in watch Jim Kerr, and so he couldn't have been nicer. We sat down together. We actually drank through the whole show. And he couldn't have been nicer, and it changed like everything. All of a sudden, we all became good friends. It was a fraternity. And AJ, when you got to town, I wanted to make sure you were part of that fraternity because it just got to be just great. I mean, I got to be good friends with Sky when he turned into Blair Gardner. I went out to visit him on his all-night show out in L.A. My wife Beth and I had a great time out there. And I got to tell you something else. Quick little story. My wife Beth was doing Metro Traffic with Joe Nolan.
Right.
And she wanted to work on PLJ in the worst way. And, you know, she'd come home. I go, honey, what happened today? She says, well, I got in this laundry chute, and I was able to get in this laundry basket, or maybe it was a mail basket, I don't know. But they started wheeling it up, and when they got to PLJ, I jumped out to see if I could, you know, get into Larry Berger's office.
I had never heard that story. Your wife, the Trojan horse.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And they said, well, no, we're not hiring today. Thank you very much. So a week later was St. Patrick's Day, and we just came from the parade, maybe had a couple of beers at 10 a.m. in the morning. And so we said, what the heck? Let's go up and see Larry. Maybe he'll answer the door for me. So we got there, and Larry said, Broadway Bill Lee is there. Oh, show him up. Show him up. So Beth and I went up to Larry's office, and we had the best conversation for about an hour. Beth didn't get a job, but we had a great time that day.
And a great story.
That's amazing. Well, yeah. Bill, I have to tell you something. You know, we've known each other now as real people for a number of years, and we have a lot of folks in the business in common, and it literally goes back to, I'm just going to say, 1982 or 1 when I would listen to you from summer camp in Hartford when you were on 96 TICFM.
Yeah.
But Still, to this day, the little radio geek in me, which I guess will never be gone, and I'm feeling that today, will just always be in awe of you, my friend. And just take it and listen to me say that and be okay with it, because that's how I feel, and that's how everybody in this business feels.
Aw, thank you, AJ. You know, to be honest with you, I was listening earlier when Fast Jimmy was saying he has no other discernible skills. Actually, I relate to that so well. It's on my driver's license. Don't let this guy do anything else other than talk up records.
All of this massive talent can be heard every afternoon on CBS FM 101.1. Oh, I said that on PLJ. That's a weird thing for
you.
You
get a pass today on that. You get a pass today.
Well, you know, between Scott Shannon, Dave Stewart, and now Bill Lee, this is CBS FM.
Broadway, thank you so much. It means the world to us that you called in today and shared those memories. I really appreciate that.
Hey, blessings on both you guys. We love you, and we're going to really miss PLJ a whole lot.
Well, we actually missed PLJ a whole lot for at least 5.5 months when we stepped into this era.
Spanning the galaxy.
Yeah.
Is Mojo Radio 95.5 FM.
So I still feel like we have so much ground to cover.
Wow.
Can I blast through the Mojo really quick?
Let's go.
Because this was such an era. It was April 1st, 1991. I'm at home because I do the night show, so I was at my place on the Upper West Side, and I get a phone call from Tom Cuddy, who was the head of operations at the time, and he said something unfathomable that we were most certain was an April Fool's joke. He said, "So, we just hired Scott Shannon. He's going to be doing the mornings. We're going to be making these changes, and he's going to be, you know, basically program director and running WPLJ." And we, of course, thought it was BS and certainly an April Fool's joke. Because remember, WPLJ was the radio station that Scott Shannon spent years trashing as the WIMP, W-I-M-P, all of these things when he put on one of the nation's great radio stations, Z100, back in the early 80s. And he came in and he tore this station down. So the idea that he was coming here to be the PDN morning man just didn't seem possible. Sure. Now, on the one hand, you know, as I talked about earlier, we thought PLJ really had great momentum at the time. So it was a little frightening that we would be somehow altering the course of that because we really liked what was going on. On the other hand, Scott was the guy that so many of us, you just were saying Fast, he was the guy we wanted to work for one day, and he was falling into our lap. So, you know, we thought, if he doesn't blow the station up, which we were told he's not going to do right away in terms of getting rid of people,
not yet,
then in that case, this could turn into a great thing. And I'll never forget that first day that he was in here. And Dave, tell me, I don't know if you were in the building at the time. He's walking around in the hallway. He's got his dark sunglasses on. He's got a radio, a transistor radio in his hand with his thumb on the volume knob. And he keeps turning it up and down and up and down. And it was on PLJ, of course. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And there was this really scary guy next to him, also in dark sunglasses, who was Mark Driscoll, who was the voice you just heard.
Sure,
but
sure.
He was scary looking to me at the time, and I was very intimidated by all that was going on. Yeah. And if you remember, the DJs went away for a couple of weeks.
We were all on vacation.
At Grossinger's up in the Catskills. They even brought along AJ Hammer, is how that promo went.
Yeah.
So it was quite a time, but as I've always said, as ridiculous as I think we all sounded at times, and you're about to hear a little clip of that era, it was the most fun I have ever had on the radio.
Without a doubt, the most fun.
And we turned my show into the All Request Mojo Show. We had the Hammer Hot 5 at 9. I don't know where Homeboy Harry is. He's hiding out somewhere. Yes. I'd really like him to be in here for this. But one of the things we did, and hopefully we still have this caller on the line, we're going to play the sound first, was a particular contest that we ran every hour, every night of my show. And, well, do we have the sound race?
Are we looking for the high five?
The wheel. We're looking for the wheel.
You got to find me the wheel.
I thought we had the wheel.
No, we don't have the wheel quite yet.
Oh, I thought the wheel was in there.
But
come
it's
on,
coming.
Man.
All right. I know.
Well,
this is live radio.
Just blame me. I was always recording.
Then while you're looking for that, can we bring in Celeste if she's still here? Because,
sure.
She's calling in from
Celeste is right here on line 8. Hello, Celeste.
From Bayville. Hello, Celeste.
Hi, Fast.
Celeste. Hello. How are you?
So, Celeste,
tell
everybody the name of the radio contest that you won on my show when we were Mojo Radio.
It was the Wheel of Squeals and Deals.
It was
No.
It was
the Wheel of Squeals and Concert Deals.
Concert Deals. Okay. I left a word out, but you'd hear this pig noise in the background.
Yeah. Well,
and the wheel's spinning.
Yeah, hang on a sec, Celeste, because I believe we can go back in time. This is not you, but...
Reach the Mojo All Night Sushi Stand. What's your name?
Roxanne Perella.
Roxanne, please tell me where you're calling from.
Seaford, Long Island.
Let me tell you, you're caller 95, Roxanne.
Oh, Roxanne, thank you.
Roxanne. All right, check it out, girlfriend. Here it is, Sting at the Garden. I had company with Damn Yankees, Jones Beach, Rod Stewart, either at the Meadowlands or at Nassau Coliseum. If you were to have some control over where the wheel would stop, not that you do, what would you hope it would land on?
Could I pick, I would hope it would land on Rod Stewart at Nassau Coliseum.
Okay, we'll just give it a whirl and see what happens. You just never know. That was hairy. Roxanne! It's Rod Stewart and Nassau Coliseum! It works out again! Congratulations from the Mojo.
Okay.
All right, so a couple quick things about that. First of all, that voice you hear on there, who went on to his own bit of radio fame, was Todd Schnitt. That was,
oh, of course!
That was MJ, I mean the pig. That was Todd was the pig there. Yeah.
Wow.
The other thing, the way we came up with that name, we used to just have the concert wheel, and that was boring for Mojo Radio. So I go into Shannon one day, and he says, well, we got to do something different about that. And he says, let's call it, you remember this, Harry? Let's call it the wheel of squeals and concert deals. And that's how his brain worked. And he said, get a wheel and put your pig noise on it. And of course, every time we'd have all these selections of what it would land on, but whatever the person said it would land on.
Anyway, of course.
It was just so silly. Yeah. What's your big Mojo memory, Fast?
My big Mojo memory is Scott saying, I want you going there and I want you open the mic and I want you sounding nasty. And I said, all right. So I went on and I sounded nasty, and he came in and he goes, I didn't tell you to sound mean. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. It was brilliant.
No, there was an attitude, guys, that he just had us pour on, or as you said to me the other day when we were talking, sort of by way of osmosis. We all kind of sounded a little rougher around the edges. And then after the format started to change and we went into this weird hybrid before it was all PLJ again, all of a sudden our voices changed.
We were all trying to get back to normal.
Do you remember when he called me one night and I said, next time you open your mic, I want you to say, I'm AJ Hammer, the boogie pig. I don't know why. And then Fast one night when he was introducing me said,
the cocky young whippersnapper, AJ Hammer, is coming up next.
We, of course, had so many great guests coming by the studio, as we were talking about earlier, and, of course, they would record little intros for us. And this one in particular, we got the thing queued up there that I want to play, and then we'll play his song.
Sure.
Yeah, this was an idea of what we sounded like back in this era in 1991.
Hey, yo, what's up? This is Marky Mark, and I'm chilling in New York City, and I'm hanging out with AJ Hammer on Mojo Radio. That's a rhyme. Can I put that on my record? I'm gonna put that on my next record, Mojo Radio. I like that.
Yeah. Mojo Radio, New York. 95.5 WPLJ.
One of my favorite sweepers of that era was one of those Mark Driscoll sweepers. It went, Mojo Radio 2.0 and nowhere to go.
Or coming at you like a giant flying burrito, this is Mojo Radio.
Mojo Radio.
I just got a text from somebody who used to work here. He will remain nameless, but the text says, I'm sure glad Mojo was fun for you guys because it was hell for me. So I can't believe we're almost done here. I have like a page and a half of notes, but one thing I wanted to talk about was how much fun you and I had. I don't know if anybody knows this. The night we had the Donna Summer concert, it was one of our 70s flashbacks at Westbury Music Fair.
We went to a Donna Summer concert?
Well, not exactly. We were supposed to be there, and if Tom Cuddy was still wondering where we are, we were in her bus drinking somebody's liquor.
Yeah, it sounds like me.
Yeah, I think it was you and me and Kim Ashley, or you, me, and Christy McIntyre. I can't remember who it was.
No, it wasn't Kim, because Kim's in the photos. You guys were not in the photos, which explains why.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were out in the parking lot.
We
of
were in a
Music
state
Fair.
Of independence.
We
I
were,
guess.
Indeed.
Oh, my goodness. Let's just talk to Scotty B real quick, because he phoned in, and we only have a few seconds, because the great Jim Kerr, radio legend Jim Kerr, is coming. And you should really just come in the studio right now, Jim Kerr, while we talk to Scotty. So,
sure.
Scotty, you're reliving some memories, and you must feel like a kid again.
I tell you, I feel like I'm 14 all over again. PLJ was such a huge part of my life. I listened to you growing up. I went on the Vanilla Ice bus with you to Boston. I don't know if you remember.
Ice bus baby, yeah. It was the Ice bus baby.
Yeah.
We had the best contest names.
But I tell you, I mean, I'm in radio now at Z100 for the last 25 years because of PLJ. So it just has really shaped my career. And, you know, I heard myself on the air when I was 12 years old winning Michael Jackson tickets in the middle of the night. And that's what gave me the radio bug. And I'm here because of you guys. And I can't thank you enough.
It's crazy how hearing your voice on the radio can change your life.
Oh, yeah. I was a little kid. My first radio. Thanks, Scotty. We really appreciate you calling. I'll tell you real quick. My first time on the air, I won a radio contest, on 66 WNBC, and Johnny Dark was the jock. And I called in. I was caller 66 probably, and I think I won $10 or whatever it was at the time. And I was so panicked when he answered the phone. I'm like, hold on a second. And then he said, oh, little girl, is your mother around?
Shattered your dreams.
So this is a first for me. When we bring this next guy in, and before we do, we had some people we wanted to thank.
Yes, I wanted to give a little love to our friend. I know you did it earlier, but I love her so much. Marianne McNerney, who's been here for, 37 years?
37 years!
37 years. She used to hang out in the back with my friend Sandy, my dearest friend, other people. Matt from Big Apple Air Checks, who's helping out today. And you guys, Race,
thank
Joey,
you.
Yeah. Dave LaBrosis.
What an incredible job. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great,
fantastic.
Man.
Just be in another world.
It's hard to be the working person trying to keep everything on and running and the radio fan standing here just going, I have heard these names and tried to walk in their shadows for how long? And it's amazing. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
What's crazy is these are two unbelievably talented guys and they're running the board for us. That feels weird.
Something's been right.
You guys have been hustling. Dave, the program director, and Dan, and everybody here have just done such an incredible job. Like, how do you end something like this? None of it makes sense.
Yeah, there's
and a lot of people are pretty pissed off.
Is it too late to write a letter to our congressman?
Yeah. So, homeboy Harry, Harry was at my side through much of my 4 years, and I saw him the other day for the first time in a very long time, and it was incredible. We were reminiscing about the fact that the things we would say and do on the radio then would keep us from having a career now.
Yeah, we'd be done. I mean, I forgot most of the stuff.
You'd be in HR all the time.
But before we bring, are you good? Because before we bring on the next guy, there was something a lot of people have been bringing back, the quote that Mitch Dolan brought out from Dr. Seuss, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. There are a couple of others that I have seen, two in particular that I thought worth mentioning. Just tell yourself, Ducky, you're really quite lucky. And, you know, for me anyway, there were two top 40 radio stations in New York. There were two night shift jobs at one at each of those stations, and I got one of them. And I still am humbled by that fact to this day that I got to work in this building on the 17th floor and do all that. The final quote is in the, and this is for Scott. This is a Dr. Seuss quote. In the places I go, there are things that I see that I could never spell if I stopped with the Z. That is a Dr. Seuss quote.
Love it. And I started at
1330. Jim Roberts.
Jim Kerr. I started with this guy in 1983. You were doing mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. J.J. Kennedy, who we saw the other night.
Right.
Pat St. John doing afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
I started weekends, did some afternoons later on. And
came up from the Jersey Shore.
I was working at little Y107 in Long Branch, New Jersey.
At Long Branch when you joined us. And Mr. Nolan sent a quote in today because you were just doing quotes. Mr. Nolan was a school teacher in New Jersey who sent me a quote every week when I was here at WPLJ, and I read the quote on Mondays at the beginning of the school week, and he always came up with an inspirational quote. And I got an email from him today on this day.
How great.
And he sent a quote, and if I can remember it correctly, Mr. Nolan's quote of the day today was, "No story ever ends, it just stops."
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Just clip the mic there.
Jingle out.
You ready?
Jingle out. Here we go.
Hello.
So I mentioned earlier that this guy stopped in the studio my first week on the air because this song and the movie were big hits at the time. Jim Kerr, I say to you, you're an inspiration, you are a radio legend, and I'm sorry if that makes you blush, It is simply the truth, and what a pleasure and honor to actually share airwaves with you for the first time. We may have met before, but you're across the table and talking at me right now.
Well, thank
and I'm
you.
Humbled by that.
Thank you so much.
Jim, AJ, Race, Joey, Dave Stewart, love y'all.
Love thank you guys.
Thank you.
It was John Bon Jovi on 95.5 PLJ.
Can I say it one more time?
Oh, please.
95.5 WPLJ.
I'm going to say it one more time. New York, PLJ.
Better hurry.
Wake up in the morning and I'll raise my weary head.